Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Walking Truth Christian Fellowship broadcast. Thank you for joining us around the world, wherever you may be. We pray that you may hear something today that will be of motivation to you, encouragement. And if you're not saved, ask the age-old question, what must I do to be saved?
Amen.
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 All right, we're going to start off today with a scripture from Levira.
Amen.
And then
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
In church, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was kind of ready this morning.
Okay. Amen. Yeah, baby.
A song of praise of the Lord, faithfulness to his people. I'm reading Psalms 100.
Amen.
Make a joyful. Can't see. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know the Lord. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves.
Amen.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures all generation to all generation. I read to you Psalms 100, one the entirety, 1-5.
Amen. Amen.
May the Lord bless you. The readers, the hearers, and the doers. I mean, the doers, they can't get it out. Amen.
Amen.
Good. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you that we could all be here to worship your name, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us, all the blessings that you bring us. I pray for the speaker today, Lord, that you may speak through him, and that we may hear a word from you, Lord. Please continue to bless us, and I pray for all those who couldn't make it here today, and I pray for all those who are here as well, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. May we grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right, now we're going to have exhortation from Minister K.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, first of all, I want to thank God for 58 years of life.
Praise God.
I want to thank God that he brought me here today to encourage and not only you, but myself. Because it's something about when you can get up and you can encourage others, and through your encouragement, you can also encourage yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Woo, Jesus, I was reading. And I actually supposed to have done this last Sunday, but you know, I was hard-headed. I was kind of hard-headed, because Sister Nancy got up here and she crowed, and she left us have it, didn't she?
Yeah.
But the scripture was Psalms 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am God. He said, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And I didn't quite understand it, but I know when he said he's going to be exalted, he's going to be exalted, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, because, you know, when we go through all these, like Pastor say, CIAs in our lives, he says, stop fighting. Stop fighting and trust him. Every time I get up here, I'm like, trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He is a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. Why are you kicking against the prick?
Come on, Kay.
And I say, well, you're right, Lord. Yeah, I know I'm right. You ain't got to tell me I'm right. I know I'm right. You just need to start listening to me. So I had to get up and say, I love exposing myself. I love telling stuff that you know, I'm like, I'm telling everybody to do this here. Why you? How you going to tell somebody else to do it and you not doing it? And you kicking against it. So I just wanted to get up here and encourage you, no matter how bad things get in your life, be still and know that he is God.
Amen.
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 Well, I have one other thing, and I got this card. I was about over there about to cry. I ain't gonna read it all, but you know, it's something when somebody tells you in a card, a letter, anything, that you a blessing.
Yeah.
I want you all to know. Every last one of you are a blessing to me in some kind of way. And to get this card with in the front of it say you're a blessing. Jesus. Woo! Y'all have no idea how much those two words mean to me. All I want us to do is to stay in unity. And to know that we're a blessing when we work together, when we help one another, especially when we're lifting up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage you once again, know that each and every one of you are a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's get a Lord a hand clap of praise.
Amen.
I just thank God today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Mr. K, you was right on time with the unity.
Amen.
And I thank you guys for last week. You guys did an awesome job. I thank Vera for coming up here again, and Venus, and everybody that just stepped up in my absence. You're going to get more of that. Amen. Amen. You're going to get more of that. Amen. You know what? I heard a song, and I just remembered this song, and I just, that one part. You know that song say, I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. Sing it. I know I've been changed.
The angels in heaven.
Come on. That's what I say it again, church. Hallelujah. One more time for me. Come on, sing with all you got if you know you've been changed.
I've been changed.
You're not what you used to be. So blessed.
I know I've been changed. You know the angels in heaven done sign my name.
Praise God. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. I love it. I love it. Let's go ahead and dive in our Bibles. Let's go to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Frida, you can start reading there. Just 15 and 4. It tells us why these scriptures was written. Amen. Romans 15 and 4.
For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of your Bibles say these things were written aforetime for our learning.
These things was written.
The scriptures was written.
That's right.
You can't get encouragement if you don't read the scriptures.
Right.
There's no hope in you if you don't understand the power of the word of God. So God loves you enough. He said, these things are written before time for our learning, that through encouragement and endurance of the scriptures, that we might have this thing called hope.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is eternal. Hope springs eternal because it comes from God. And I just thank God today.
Amen.
I just thank God today. Because hope is always there for us. Hope is always in a position to help us. God is hope. He sent hope to die for us. He shed his blood for us. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So with this hope, we go forward. The scripture tells us about it. It makes no difference where you're from or what age group you are, or what your job title is. This world, as we see today, needs some hope. And since we are ambassadors of Christ, that means that we are the purveyors, the dispensers of hope.
Oh, that's it.
By the grace of God, you've been assigned and qualified to give somebody some hope. Huh. The Lord is so good.
Yes, he is.
Because his grace endures forever.
Amen.
His mercies are renewed every morning.
Yes.
And I just thank God to see any age that you see. Whether it's 50, 20, or 10, is a blessing from God.
Okay.
And today I want to go back and cover some ground that Sister Nancy got me all excited about her sermon.
Amen.
But I want to get it together. I want to plan this out. I want us to think about what really is going on. As much as we read, we need to understand why Paul wrote what he wrote.
That's right.
So let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Because I want to put some context behind this scripture that we all love, that Nancy went over. It was an awesome thing that she said, but you know, and we're going to start the study of Philippians. I started in 3, but we'll go back. But in chapter 1 of Philippians, you have the philosophy of Paul. In chapter 2 of Philippians, you have the pattern that we should follow. In chapter 3, you have the prize. We talked about the prize of the upward calling of God. Chapter 4 is about the power that we have as saints in Christ Jesus. Please watch it, because I don't want to knock this. Oh. So I don't think that we could enjoy the philosophy if we don't have the power. I don't think we can follow the pattern without the power. And we can't reach the prize without the power. What's the point of having a prize that we can't reach if we don't have the power to reach it?
Come on.
Chapter 4 kind of is a conclusion of the power. But what we see that in normal church life, you know what? There's always something going on.
All right.
When she talked about unity, it's kind of funny because unity is the thing that we strive for that we can all achieve together. Think about the so-called fivefold ministry. It talks about till we all grow up into the knowledge of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a growing that we all do, and we all have to look at each other as getting there, because he said there's a work that he's doing in us that he's going to complete. But then there's external pressures on the church.
Yes.
In chapter 3, it told us to press.
That's right.
That we need to press. Well, one of the things he's talked about, he said those dogs, those Judaizers that were always pressing in behind Paul. They were like a gnat, always in Paul's ears, coming behind him after he would teach the Gentiles that they had become part of God's kingdom. Okay? He has that. But we have to understand that not only are there external pressures of us, on us, and the Judaizers, and people who are, at the end of chapter 3, enemies of the cross.
All right.
Who preach the gospel for their own gain.
That's right.
And those of us who are called by God, as we suffer through preaching the gospel and nobody listening to us, preaching the gospel, nobody comes to our church, preaching the gospel, and it seems as if nobody's listening. It couldn't discourage you because you're watching the evildoers swell up, blow up.
Right.
Become influential. But God says to you, I just need you to be faithful and keep pressing.
That's it.
No matter what they say, keep pressing. And we talk about the church body. So we press. We're going to reach the mark. We're going to go to the high calling. But we got to press. But there's one more problem. Just as much as there is external pressure on us as a body of Christ, as walking truth, there's an internal pressure that could destroy your church.
Mm.
And without unity, your church will be destroyed.
That's right.
Your church will be destroyed because you can't see beyond yourself. You become so important.
Right.
You become so spiritual. You become so title oriented. Nobody wants to serve, but everybody wants to be served and seen.
Uh-huh.
Mm. People don't want to construct and build nothing. They want to criticize.
Yes.
And haven't you noticed, saints of God, the one who causes disunity is the one who's talking the most and doing the least?
That's it.
They got an opinion on everything because they watching everything versus helping to get things done.
Uh-huh.
It's only till we come together and can get things done in unity that we can go forward. And I'm blessed to say we've done a lot in a mighty short period of time because of the unity. Because we come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. That's what the song says. So let's look at the scripture. Let's read through Philippians 4 verses 1 through 7. And you're going to see the context that kind of highlights what the pressures are of the church, internal, and how we're supposed to respond to that pressure. All right, go ahead, read.
Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved.
Stand firm. So the first thing we see in Philippians, which we'll see as we study it, Paul gives some specific instructions. Don't be wishy-washy. Stand firm, my beloved. Paul is assuming, he is counting on the fact that this church that is being pressured from the outside is going to stand firm. So he's encouraging them. We need to have more encouraging messages that, one, correct us, but also encourage us. Whatever we turn down, we must try to what? Rebuild and build up better.
That's it.
Through the word of God. So he's encouraging them. No matter what is happening, stand firm. Even though you see I'm in bonds, stand firm. Don't look at my circumstance, but look at what's happening through my circumstance, that I'm suffering like Christ and people are coming to Christ because they watch me what? Suffer well.
Praise God.
We've been talking about suffering well.
Yeah.
All year. That's been our theme. And I want to give you a report card, saints.
Oh, God.
You have got an A+ in suffering well. You have sustained, maintained, arranged, rearranged, and you're still standing firm.
Amen.
Jesus. If we could just get all the saints to stand firm, that CIA life don't even bother them no more. That's just life. As long as you live life, you're going to have that. But just because you live life don't mean you're going to have eternal life. And you can start living. I heard something today. It said, when you come to Christ, you can start living heaven now.
That's right.
You ain't got to wait to get there. It's the journey to heaven that's still heaven. Because think about it, the journey to hell is still heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
So the journey to heaven is still heaven.
Amen.
Jesus, I am so happy today.
Amen.
Amen. I am so happy today. The Lord has really, really shown me he rewards the faithful. And saints, you've been faithful. Okay, read.
I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life.
Stop.
Amen.
For you ladies that want to do ministry, that scripture shows you that Paul didn't say, these ladies, and I'm the apostle. He said, my fellow laborers. These two women obviously have some influence in the church. Mm-hmm. These two women are strong leaders in the church. These two women are called co-laborers or fellow laborers with Paul. Paul didn't say, I'm your apostle. He said, I'm your co-laborer. That means that he looks at them when it comes to laboring in the gospel as equals.
Praise God. Mm. Amen.
You better wake up, church.
Amen.
We understand the order of things, but you don't need that order if you got the unity.
Mm, come on.
That's good.
Because obviously these women, Paul said, I'm concerned because they got issues with each other.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I mean. A church becomes unstable when there's no unity. Mm-hmm. And Paul had got word while he was in his bonds that there's these two great sisters. One sitting on the left, the other sitting on the right, and they got issues with each other. And the church is being crippled by their conflict. So Paul sends back a letter and say, I urge these two women, you guys, you men, you women, Clement, get with these two women. And try to restore the unity. Because they have an influence. The church may make or break based upon what they say and what they think, because I'm not there, but they are women that I work with, and I know how much each one of them love the Lord.
Praise God.
Disunity will destroy a church. Amen. Way before outside influences ever will.
Amen.
So he's urging them. So this is the context of this passage now. We got the external influences that destroy a church, and now Paul is writing about a specific cert going on. Now, he doesn't tell what it is, but we know it's disturbing because he's urging them. He's pleading with them. Get it together. Don't let whatever you're going through stop you from understanding you love the Lord, and that requires a unity and a love bond that supersedes your personal interests. In James, it talks about what causes quarrels. Passions. Passions for self. Passions about you that causes the problems in the body of Christ. But he says he's urging them. So whatever that passion was, it causes a rift with these important women.
Amen.
And Paul is urging them. You too much. You mean too much to the kingdom. You mean too much to the body to have this rift. You are part of the body and y'all got to work together. So ladies, work it out. Clement, see that they work it out. Make them do Matthew 18. And if they don't, then we know what to do. But the hope is that they will, because they love the Lord. See, when you love the Lord,
praise God. Come on.
I've learned, when you really love the Lord, you try to look at things from other people's perspective.
Yeah.
You try to take advantage of the fact that you got the Holy Spirit inside of you, the wisest teacher of them all. And you got the scriptures to guide you. So sometimes, saints, what I suggest is take a step back in the situation that you're in, especially with each other. Just maybe the problem is not the situation, but the problem is your attitude that you bring to the situation.
All right.
So we're talking about power. Say power.
Power.
We're going to get to the power because something got to be done. See, when you got two people fighting, some larger power got to come in and straighten things out.
That's right.
Somebody with some common sense, which is not so common no more. Somebody with some spiritual insight. Somebody who loves the Lord to the point he wants to see, or she wants to see you two unified, because together y'all are better than apart. Some of you are like that in here. If y'all just, and you've done it, you've shown me, then when y'all work together, there's nothing you can't do. Walking truth, there's nothing that you can't do. I don't care what they say, but they ain't saying nothing no more. We still here. Amen? I remember when we first started, skepticism, criticism, ridicule. Now they just throw their hands up and they say, I don't know what's going on over there. I tell you what's going on, God.
Amen.
God's going on here. And when you trust God, God will show all the naysayers. He'll show your critics, and that verifies your ministry.
Praise
Paul even said in chapter 3, he said, all the haters that are coming against me for whatever reason verify who I am. Their destruction is promised.
Praise
rebellion breeds rebellion. Rebellion attracts rebellion. Submission in faith attracts those who are willing to be submitted in faith.
Mm-hmm.
I submit to you, you submit to me, we all submit to one another. That's what makes the whole body of Christ so attractive to me. We are all equal when it comes to Jesus. We are all sinners saved by grace, but every now and then some dust get kicked up, just like a family.
That's right.
Yeah. Sometimes y'all just make me rub my head. And I'm sure sometimes I make y'all just rub y'all head. But the thing about it is, the love we have supersedes any moment in time that we have for each other. Okay, read. So we got the problem. So the stage is set. Let's see what the Bible says of how we're going to deal with this. Now, you can catch this. Watch this.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
First thing we need to do is what?
Rejoice.
Nope. The first thing we need to do is stand firm.
That's true.
Stay with me now. You know, Pastor, go weave it right, but y'all got to stay with me.
Yeah.
First thing you do is stand firm. The second thing we do is?
Rejoice.
How many times?
Always.
Sometimes.
Always.
Just when we feel like it.
Always.
Can I rejoice always? In the midst of my storm, can I rejoice, as Kay would say. Stand firm, rejoice. Two ways to start beginning to look at things circumspectly. Stand firm in what you know. Whatever you obtain, remember chapter 3 says, hold on to what you've obtained. Now it's telling us to stand firm in what we obtain and now rejoice about what we know. So we got to bring a joy to this. We got to bring a joy to this situation that's went down.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come in pointing fingers. You got to come in with humility. I've seen more arguments settled when the person who's the mediator comes in and says, you know what? I'm the worst of them all. I'm worse than both of you. Now, both of them get together and say, no, you're not. You done already got them agreeing. Them little tack, try that one time. When you see two people having a conflict, you come in and make yourself the villain. And they all will agree if they respect you that you're not. You got them agreeing, so you're downhill from there. So we stand firm and we rejoice. Go ahead.
Again, I will say rejoice.
So that's very important to start rejoicing because you're dealing with conflict now. Okay? Go ahead.
Let your reasonableness be known to everyone.
Stop. Now you need to let your reasonableness be known to everyone. That's the exercise I just gave you. Let them know that you are reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
You know how reasonable you are? Mm. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm worse than you. So if I'm worse than you and you respect me, then why can't you two work it out? Be reasonable. Listen when you're dealing with conflict more than talk. Get every side that you can get. Ask questions. Don't be so quick to hit them with the hammer when you need a scalpel.
All right.
Sometimes, and I'm trying to teach those who are under the teaching, that sometimes we got to get past the hammer and use a scalpel. Ain't that right, Free?
Yeah.
All right. But you got to learn how to use a scalpel, because if you don't learn to use it right, you'll mess somebody up. Okay? It's actually easier to heal from a hammer than it is from a scalpel. Because it's so exacting. So now we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice always. We need to be reasonable. Read.
The Lord is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be anxious about anything, mm-hmm. but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Stop. Mm-hmm. You see how it applies to what was going on between them?
Right.
So I have to start over again. What we need to do after rejoice, read that again real slow.
Do not be anxious
Don't be anxious about what?
Anything.
Pray about everything. Now, you can spread that around, but in this situation, you might have to be, you can't be the one all upset about them being upset. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a situation where you got upset because somebody else was upset? Yeah. So don't be anxious. Pray about the situation. Pray about the unity of the body. Pray that God gives you the word to say. Pray that God gives you the mouth to shut up. Mm-hmm. Pray that God gives you ear to hear. Pray that God lets you see beyond the flesh. Know no man according to the flesh, but according to the spirit.
That's what it says.
You got to look at these two women as souls that God needs in his army. You can't look at the outward, the pain, the fruit of their conflict. You got to go to the root of their conflict, which is selfishness, which is envy, which is anxiety. But you got to come and not be anxious about none of this. You got to be the coolest one. All right? Go ahead.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Stop. So if you do those things, if you stand firm, what's the next one?
Rejoice.
Rejoice and rejoice always. Pray. Don't be anxious. Be reasonable. See, I don't care what order you get in. And then with all of that, this power comes over you called what? The peace of God. Now, this is what I would encourage you to do. You need to do that before you go deal with the issue.
Praise God. Thank you.
The fruit of the Spirit. Think about this, what it just said. Basically, it says you need to be dining daily on the fruit of the Spirit so that you can handle the internal pressures that come because we people.
Mm-hmm.
You got to dine on some love, joy, peace, long-suffering, self-control. You got to eat the fruit of the Spirit so that when you see this conflict in the church, you can step back, look at it for what it is, come in, and handle it. But you have to be the one. The mature one. What 3 says, let those of us who mature think this way.
Right.
And 2 it says, let this mind also be in you. That's in what? Christ Jesus. There's a psychological nature to what we are doing that your philosophy should be, you're supposed to be a peacemaker.
Come on.
God has assigned you to go before him and make peace with all men, if possible. Let your reasonableness be known. Let people know that's outside the body that, you know what, when I come to Sister Nancy, she's reasonable. She's going to listen to what I got to say and not judge me before she hears me. She's not going to condemn me and say I don't have any hope. Because how can you be the purveyor of hope and the one who condemns at the same time? So many times in our churches, we got condemnation and hope working side by side across each other out.
Yep.
Condemning you to control you and then saying have hope in what? Once you condemn me, I'm condemned. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction.
Right.
Conviction motivates you to change. Yeah. But I've learned that if you let a person talk long enough that's saved, they'll get convicted all on their own.
Yeah.
Just let them talk.
Yeah.
Don't you try to be God. You just sit there and look at them with that stare like you Jesus. Really? Okay. And there's nothing wrong with saying you understand. Because understanding doesn't mean you agree.
That's true.
Understanding means you understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
So yeah, we need to pray. Yeah, we need to stand firm. Yeah, we need to rejoice. We need to let our reasons be known so that power of peace can be in us, that we can give that peace to somebody else.
Amen. Praise God.
Go to Ephesians chapter 29. I mean, chapter 4. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. Read that.
Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear.
Stop. Let no communication that comes from your mouth be a communication that destroys to the point of condemnation, because your job is to give them the grace fitting for the moment that will what? Build them up. You're looking forward to building them up. You might have to tear some stuff down, but you're looking forward to what? Building them up. And the words you say are important.
Yeah. That's right.
Words are like a bullet. Once it's out, you can't pull it back.
That's right. That's it.
And sometimes words are worse than a bullet because they have an everlasting effect on you. Mm-hmm. Even if the person comes and apologizes. Mm-hmm. That's why we should encourage if we don't really know how to constructively discourage. You have to know how to use constructive criticism as your gateway into building them better than they were when you met them. The goal for these two women is to bring them back together and make them better as a unit than they were apart, and better than they were before they fell out. Read.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice.
So by the power that we read in Philippians, you can put these things away. If you mature, let us think this way. If you immature, you're missing it. You don't need more Holy Ghost. You need to yield to the Holy Ghost that's already inside of you. What you need is more word to fuel the Holy Ghost inside of you. Not your thoughts, his thoughts. Not your ways, his ways. He says it can be put away. The prize is whatever you're going through, it can be what? Put away. But can only be put away if you're willing to submit to the word of God and trust in it. And it's not going to happen the minute you... This is not a spell book. So you saying this don't mean anything. It has to be deep inside your heart. That you want the unity of the body more than you want your own personal freedom. That you're willing to be bond servants one to another. That you're willing to be chained and cuffed to each other no matter what. Because God said we can do more together than apart. You're not the tribe of Israel. You're the body of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're going to be in the kingdom. If he the head and you the body, wherever the kingdom is, you're going to be. You're in the kingdom by grace. There's not a work you can do to earn the fact to get in the kingdom, but he worked it out for you. And now you're the light of the world. So don't let no corrupt communication come in your mouth. Get off these phones gossiping and talking stuff about church members. Because that caused a problem. Because eventually it's going. See, this is what I'm saying. You can't trust nobody.
That's it.
You can't trust nobody. Especially when you're being negative and messy. Because when you're being negative and messy, the goal is to keep the mess going. Because mess is entertaining. But truth is boring. Love is boring. Building up is boring. I don't get a kiki and a ha-ha when I'm building up. I got to go to work. I got to get in the mud with you. So we got to learn to get in the mud with each other. Because you're not a pig. You're a prince or a princess. The prodigal son came to himself because guess what? He really wasn't no pig. But when the pig went home to the prodigal prince's palace, the prodigal pig knew he's still a pig, no matter how much you clean him up. And he had to go back to the pig pen where he was comfortable, but not you. Don't be messy. Okay? Don't be messy. Go to Colossians 3. So we got the power to have good communication. Don't have corrupt communication. Now think about this. As we read these, in Ephesians, this must have been a problem with what? Corrupt communication.
Right.
See, when you see these things, start thinking like they must have had that problem.
Yeah.
Somebody was in there doing corrupt communication. Somebody was in the Philippian church doing corrupt communication where these fell out. These two ladies. But you got the power to put it aside. And I urge you, and I plead with you, put it aside. Step back. Ask yourself, am I tripping? Am I really looking out for the body, or am I looking out for myself and my ego? Colossians 3:12, read.
Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts.
Compassionate hearts.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Humility.
Humility.
Meekness.
Meekness.
And patience.
And patience. You can put it on, Pastor, and you can take it off.
Yes, sir.
Some of you got to need to put it on and leave it on for a little bit. Don't be so quick to take off. Read it again. Take off what? Start again.
Put on then.
Okay, put on then.
As God's chosen people.
All right.
Compassionate hearts.
Don't take off your compassion.
Kindness.
Don't take off your kindness.
Humility.
Don't take off your humility.
Meekness.
And do not take off your meekness, because you are God's chosen.
That's right.
It needs to be a part of your daily life. You don't put it off when you walk out this door and put it on like a cheap suit. You don't wait till Sunday or Saturday night to put it on, because it is evident that you don't have it on. Because it's the outsiders that tell the insiders that you don't wear that suit all the time. You're not wearing your robe of righteousness. Read.
Bearing with one another.
Uh-oh. Bearing with one another, submitting to one another. Always a problem in the church. We got to learn how to submit one to another. Go ahead.
And if one has a complaint against another.
Uh-oh. If one, Sitica, Titchica, y'all got playing against each other. Utica, Titchica, you got to complain against each other. What do we do?
Forgive each other.
Oh, we got to learn how to forgive. But you can't learn how to forgive until you put on that garment. You can't learn how to forgive until you learn how to set it aside. You can't learn how to forgive until you practice the peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. You got to learn how to forgive. You know why you got to learn how to forgive? Because God's forgiven you.
Amen.
Just on that. Learn how to forgive because God has forgiven you. Everything you do that's anti-God, God has already forgiven you. He doesn't want you to wallow in it. He doesn't want you to hold yourself back in it. He wants you to practice Galatians 6:1. Restore a brother who's caught in a fault. They need to be noted. They need to be reminded that they've been forgiven. They've been redeemed. They were bought with a price. They need to walk by faith and not by sight. They need to be reminded of that. That's our job, because we're ambassadors of peace. A church can be torn apart when there's disunity on the inside. But when there's unity, there's nothing that can stop it. That's when two or three are gathered in that union. Things can be decided upon. Decisions can be made. But when the church got two or three, two, that's acting out of character. That's saying they're saint, but they ain't. They come in like wolves in sheep's clothing. They know all the rituals, the rites, and the regulations, but they don't have love. Paul said you don't have anything. They come in with their pedigree and their degree, but they don't have any love. They don't know how. They think more of themselves than they should. They try to draw sides and teams and cliques and whatnots, and try to get you to be divisive against leadership, a us versus them type mentality. But there's no reason for that. There's no reason to have an us versus them. We all in together. It tells us until we all grow up. And it says until pastor grow up and y'all come later, we all gonna get there together. Not at all.
That's right.
He started a work in you, and he's going to finish the work in you. And we are all at different levels of sanctification, but we all at the same level of grace. We all need it.
That's right.
And with that, we should be unified. With that, we should be unified. We need to learn how to forgive because God has forgiven us. But I know there's a saying that's colloquial that we say in our churches, and I've been studying this, and I'm going to challenge you to show me. Where does the Bible say you need to forgive yourself? I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Give me the scripture.
That's true.
The problem is you're too quick to forgive yourself versus making it right with somebody. See, what you opt out is before you even try to reconciliation, well, I'm just going to forgive myself because I ain't going to be bothered with them. Look, somebody know what I'm talking about. Because you don't want to do the work, but you did the work to cause the problem.
That's right. That's good.
But nowhere in that Bible, that's a secular thing. That's a psychological thing. That's a motivational. You need to forgive yourself. How can I forgive myself when I ain't made it right with my brother and sister or even tried? I don't need to forgive myself because I put away your sin nature will forgive you all the time.
Yes, it will.
But the Holy Spirit say, oh, no. You caused this problem. You need to get in there and try to work it out. You need to be humble. You need to come and beg for forgiveness. You need to ask this person, tell this person I'm sorry. You need to find a way in the words to say that brings reconciliation, restoration, and recovery to that person. You need to be building them up because you tore them down. No, it's too, you can't forgive yourself yet. No. You got work to do, saints of God. You got to bring back the unity if it's lost. So let's do this. If we do all that is said, we'll never lose the unity. And we won't have to go through this. And it's possible because if we can attain it once it's broken, we can stay in it and not get broken. Jesus. Jesus. These things were written aforetime. Let's go back to 15 and 4. Romans 15 and 4. These things, these scriptures, what you just heard, what you just read, what they written for. Romans 15 and 4.
For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope.
So now, I didn't give you hope.
Praise God.
If there's any disunity in this body, get it right. God got a mighty work for us to do, 2022, if we can see it. Last year was a year of suffering and well. This year is going to be go forward in our faith and do what God has called us to do. Go forward in your faith. Stand firm. Hold on to what you obtained. Move out. You've been given your assignments. You are a peace ambassador. So I want to see more peace, more submission, more love, more willing to build somebody up. Let them have a big piece of chicken. Okay. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you today. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us a chance to show unity. I thank you that you've shown us through the conflict of two sisters how important it is to recognize and build a person up and talk about how they are fellow laborers. We are equal laborers in the field of God. Lord, thank you for the mission of saving souls. But Lord, teach us how to be unified, that you may be glorified. Let the people to see the peace in us that surpasses all understanding. Let us submit to one another, sharing each other's burdens, and not have any corrupt communication come from our mouths. And Lord, let us represent you because you are our head, we are your body. And let us go forward in faith. Lord, we have suffered well, and we will continue to suffer, Lord, and we will share in the sufferings as you have shown us that we must. But Lord, let us rejoice, and have joy. And I say again, Lord, teach us how to rejoice in the midst of our problems, external and internal. The Lord, we trust you because we know we can be overcome. You strengthen us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. So, Lord, let us yield to the power of the Holy Spirit which dwells in each and every single one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I always like, thank you for tuning in to the Walk of Truth Radio Network broadcast. We always want you to be encouraged, blessed, and at peace. Remember to like, subscribe, and share. And what?
Share.
Walk in truth.
If you do not have a place of worship, please consider Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church your home. We are a safe place to worship, supporting the edification of the body with all of its gifts. Sound biblical teaching is at the center of our worship as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Sharing the fruit of the Spirit and moving forward in faith through serving our community is our privilege and pleasure. Please feel free to contact the ministry at 636-344-0539 or email us at witmin@yahoo.com. Thank you for your consideration. Be blessed, encouraged, and walk in the truth of the Lord.